from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin this morning in Palm Springs. Over the weekend, two police officers were killed after responding to reports of, quote, a man acting crazy. David Gorn reports.
Hundreds of mourners laid flowers in front of a makeshift memorial at police headquarters Sunday. The two officers were gunned down while responding to a domestic disturbance call. A third officer was wounded. Jose Gilbert Vega was just 2 months from retirement. Leslie Zarebny had just returned to work after giving birth. Her daughter is 4 months old. Police Chief Brian Reyes.
To see her laying down with her eyes open and to witness her husband kiss her on the forehead for the last time, it's tough.
It's the first time a Palm Springs officer has been killed in the line of duty in over 50 years. Sandra Walmsley was among the mourners.
You think a place is immune to these kinds of things, but we're not immune.
Suspect Joseph Hernandez Felix, a 26-year-old ex-convict, is due to be arraigned tomorrow on two counts of first-degree murder. For the California Report, I'm David Gorn in Palm Springs.
We go now to our election coverage, and we begin with a little history. Back in 2000, Californians passed a proposition that allows a district attorney to decide whether to try a juvenile as an adult. It's called Direct File, and it was designed to combat a perceived surge in youth crime. Direct File is up for a vote this November. Here's KQED's Laura Clivens.
It's not that juveniles can't get long sentences. In fact, listen to Frankie Guzman's story. Back in the mid-90s, when he was 15 years old, he and his friends were hanging out in their hometown of Oxnard. And like many teenagers, they didn't always make the best decisions. They bought some guns off the street, stole a car, and then robbed a liquor store. They took $350. Guzman's lawyer told him that the sentence would likely be light, maybe a year. But that didn't happen.
When the 15-year sentence was finally handed down, I heard my sister behind me screech and cry. And I think that was when it hit me.
He had no prior offenses.
I didn't think a whole lot about it. I just felt. And I felt demoralized. I felt defeated. And I felt worthless.
But here's the thing. The judge in Guzman's case let him stay in the juvenile system. There he went to school, and that later played a big role in his life. And he got out early. When it comes to criminal justice, there are two systems based on age. The juvenile system, its goal is rehabilitation, and the adult system, its goal is public safety. Direct File, which gives prosecutors the discretion to send kids to adult court, makes stories like Guzman's less likely.
I mean, the pernicious part of Direct File is that there is no hearing, there is no evidence, there is no record.
Barry Crisberg is a criminologist at UC Berkeley.
Somebody in the back office of a prosecutor's office decides to try a youth as an adult, and there's not too much that can be done about it.
If a case instead has a hearing in front of a judge, both sides present evidence, and the hearing can be reviewed and argued. Last year, nearly 500 young people between the ages of 14 and 17 were direct filed. That's less than 1% of all juvenile arrests statewide, but the decision has serious consequences. An adult sentence is typically much longer than a juvenile one. And Crisberg says young people who go to adult prison are more likely to recidivate and experience more abuse when they're on the inside. Now, public defenders are looking out for their young clients, many of whom have grown up in challenging situations. And district attorneys, on the other hand, are looking out for public safety and crime victims. District attorneys like Paul Durenberger say Direct File's a helpful tool reserved for serious crimes. The Sacramento prosecutor says the available rehabilitation programs aren't good enough to actually change youth offenders.
When you already have a minor who is going to end up in adult court and you're talking about having a hearing that's going to make him sit at juvenile hall, not knowing what his future is for 6 months, 8 months, and sometimes even a year, I don't see a benefit for that.
But youth advocates take issue with the practice. They say the 48 hours district attorneys have to make their decision is not enough time. Then there's race. Even after you adjust for the disproportionate number of youth of color arrested for serious felonies, Latino and Black youth are twice as likely to be direct filed as their white counterparts. Patricia Sung is an attorney at the Children's Defense Fund. She says that since 2000,
the numbers of young people prosecuted as adults increased dramatically.
And over time, we also saw the racial inequities widen.
If it was your child, what would you want?
Criminologist Barry Crisberg again.
We're much more likely to be sympathetic and to give second chances and to try treatment and rehabilitation to people who we think, you know, we understand them and we think we know who they are. But if they are defined as aliens or others, then we treat them very differently.
Remember Frankie Guzman, the guy from Oxnard who robbed a liquor store? He felt like his judge saw him as other. But he's grateful direct file didn't exist back then.
Having all these opportunities to go to school, college, law school, have a career like a lawyer is largely in part to the fact that I was a prosecutor as a juvenile.
That's right. He's a lawyer at the National Center for Youth Law. He says he got here because he had so many chances to make mistakes and learn from them. But with direct file, he says, you don't get a second chance. For the California Report, I'm Laura Clivens.
Proposition 57 would repeal direct file. Polls show that proposition is likely to pass. Tomorrow, Laura Clivens takes us to a county that rarely uses the practice to get a sense of what life is like without direct file.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Barracuda Networks, security, archiving, and backup solutions for physical networks and public cloud services such as Microsoft Azure and Office 365. Learn more at barracuda.com/KQED. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
Oh, guess what? Early voting begins for much of California this week. If you want to get a jump on voting, you can go to my Twitter page. I'm at JohnLGC, and there's a handy link to election offices around the state. If you don't feel like you know enough about the issues to make a decision, don't worry. We got you covered there, too. Go to kqed.org/elections for our ballot guide. It is really, really rad. I'm John Sepulveda, wishing you a great day. This is the California Report for Monday, October 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio.